do we have to divorce, split everything, split the kids? Like, maybe not. Our house was big enough. Why don't we just live under one roof and co-parent together? Because being a single parent is hard. If we don't have to do that, if this can work, then let's try.
What's up, everybody? This is Matt here with the Husband in Law Podcast. This is where we share our stories of love, ex-love, marriage, ex-marriage, divorce, ex-divorce, and coming out of a closet that needed to be opened, and so much more. This podcast is for those who are looking to up their relationship game by understanding first yourself and then others, like your wife, your husband, and your wife's ex-husband on a whole new level. Welcome to the Husband in Law Podcast. Let's get this party started.
Today on the podcast, we have the one, the only Linda Fruits. I am so excited for you to meet her. If you haven't yet, you may know her from Instagram or TikTok as the Fruits of Motherhood, where she is helping us laugh about our motherhood journey and also helping us feel seen and supported along the way. She also has a self-care journal that you can pick up. She is the author of The Mom's Life, and you can also pick up her hoodies that are the Bad Mom Club hoodies. They are so fun and just make me smile so much. So go pick up her hoodies, go pick up her merch, connect with her on social media, and enjoy her story today as she is sharing with us how she too came out later in life. And I am so excited to have her share her unique story and process with us today. You will not want to miss all of the ins and outs of this journey. Linda, I am beyond excited to have you on the podcast and to just be able to chat with you. Like, it makes me so happy. You have brought so much joy into my life via your Instagram. And I found you just before you came out. And so I was like, oh my gosh, I know this storyline.
This conversation is way overdue.
Yes. And it's so exciting. Like, one of the reasons I love sharing these stories of individuals who have come out and also on the other side of that is because, like, I've been getting a lot of hate on Instagram right now. And they're like, you shouldn't be normalizing this dialogue. And I'm like, no, this is exactly what we need to normalize. We need to normalize everybody's stories and everybody having a different story. And I love how unique yours is and how full of love it is. So let's dive in. If you want to start by sharing your story, let's go back to when you met your ex.
Yeah, that sounds great. And thank you so much for having me on. I absolutely love sharing my story because I too believe that we need to normalize this like next generation of relationships. And I know that yours is also super unique. And I think that we need to kind of live as, not as like role models, because like, let's just say, obviously no one's perfect, but just as like an example and representation. So I met Christopher while I was working at a restaurant and his business would stop there. He has this like pedal powered, like pub bike. You see them in like other parts of the world and some other states now. They're kind of more popular. And I was working at like a restaurant. I worked at a restaurant for 3 months and I was like, this is not for me. But because I went from working in nightclubs to a restaurant, it was a lot more work. I was like, no, thank you. But anyways, I met him and my best friend at the time, she's still my best friend, but she was like getting jealous because I kept calling him my best friend, right? Like we were just like super platonic in the beginning, you know? And my whole life, I've heard this narrative, like you're supposed to like date your best friend, right? Mm. And so I was like, okay, well, he checks off that box. I'm like, let's do this.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to have kids at this point in my life too. And I didn't really grow up dreaming of being a mom, but like when I turned 27, I was like, need babies now. Yeah. Which of course was not at all what I was expecting either, which is basically what my whole platform is about. But you know, we did the thing. We had children, we got married, we had two kids. And I still kind of felt like something was always missing. And when I look back now, I think that had something to do with me really wanting to have children as well, is because I was looking for this kind of love that, you know, I would jokingly say, like, I had a French bulldog at the time. Unfortunately, she passed away, but she's like my soul dog. And I was like, I love this dog so much. I can't imagine my feelings that I will have for my own children. And that was like, I wanted to experience that, you know? You know, fast forward, let's see. We were married for, I'm not very good at math, but we're going to say 4 or 5 years.
Perfect.
Or seven. And I kept hearing this narrative about moms, right? You're so tired that you don't have sex with your husband, that you're touched out, that you're not doing enough stuff for yourself. Like all of these things, like I struggled with intimacy through every relationship that I have ever been in. And so this one was no different. And it was just that we had kids basically like 2 or 3 years in. And that was like my new excuse was like, oh, I'm a mom now. That's why I don't want to have sex. That's why I must be touched out. I'm breastfeeding. I must be all of these things. So by the time I had my second kid, I was like, all right, I'm going to check off all of these boxes because I'm struggling. And I felt guilty that I didn't want to sleep with my own husband. So I was like, okay, put the kids in daycare, start working out, start doing all of these things. And it didn't help.
Shocking.
You know? Right. And I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
I'm doing all the things. And, you know, we both were like trying to figure it out together. And after I did all of those things, I found myself on TikTok because I, for once, had like time for myself. I feel like women and young adults too, we're just kind of like hopping from one thing to the next in the beginning of our lives. Everything is super fast, especially when it comes to like this pressure to find the person, to get married, to have kids, you know, that thing that happens. And I grew up in kind of like a small town in Florida. I wasn't exposed to a lot. And so I too was on that assembly line, is kind of like what I like to call it. And for the first time in my life, I was like, well, wait a second. The whole world shut down. I was on TikTok and I was asking myself, I'm like, what do I want? You know, I was having time to like go in and like assess and, you know, figure myself out as an adult. And ironically, they call lesbian TikTok like lesbian TikTok, but it's not like a separate app. A lot of people joke about that. It's this, but it's just when you start looking at stuff, TikTok's like, oh, give her all the lesbian content. And I remember sending like videos to my friend and I was like, is she hot? Is it just me? Like, what's going on? And she'd be like, yeah, she's hot. And I'm like, all right, great. So I just like carry on my merry way. And then I like happened more and more often. She's like, girl, are you going to come out of the closet or what? I'm like, come out of the closet. Okay. And so just to paint a little picture for you, my whole life dating, I never really like liked someone first. Right. I was kind of like, when someone liked me, I liked the attention and then we would date. It wasn't like, I was like, oh, I have a crush on someone, you know, like that wasn't like my, and I didn't understand why. I remember growing up being like, how are all these girls like obsessed with NSYNC, like, or Backstreet Boys? I'm like, do I just like pick one and then I like them? Like, I don't understand why that was coming so naturally to everyone and not for me. Like, there was red flags, but again, I wasn't exposed. And so finally I was like, okay, I need to tell Christopher because obviously something's going on. And at that point I was like, okay, maybe I'm just bisexual. And that's what I wanted to tell him. I like followed him around like a puppy dog all morning. And I was like, gonna tell him this because I knew that we had the whole day together. And I was like, okay, we can like unpack this today, right? And I needed to get it out in the morning. And so he walks into the bathroom, closes the door, locks the door. He was going to take a shower. And I'm like, I got to talk to you. He comes out. He's like naked. I'm like, I grab the sheet from the closet. I like drape it over his shoulders. I'm like, I need to tell you something. I'm like, I think I'm bisexual. And I wasn't expecting what happened next to happen. I just started bawling. I was crying hysterically. And I was like, this was supposed to be a funny conversation. I don't know how we got here, you know? And it became a lot more emotionally charged than I imagined. And then I was having like anxiety, like leading up to this point, like every normal person would. And I felt better, but like, I wasn't finished. And so we were still hanging out all day. And I was like, I know this feels better, but I'm not like 100% sure why I'm still like uneasy. And so it took like 2 weeks of like really deep diving into every relationship I've ever been in. And I was like, I kept losing interest, like intimacy interest after like the newness wears off, you know, and I kept blaming the other person like normal people do. And I kept just dating different people. And I was like, wait a second. It's me. I'm the problem. It's hello. And yeah. So I quickly realized that I am not actually attracted to men. Like, of course there's like that like sexual chemistry was like not there for me. And, you know, for the first time when I downloaded TikTok, I had a crush on someone I had never met before. And that was the first time in my life that had ever happened. Like, I go back to the Backstreet Boy and the NSYNC example, and I'm like, oh, it's because I was never attracted to men like that, you know?
Yeah.
Of course, Christopher like got it, right? It was like, oh, hello. That's obviously why. And we both understood that that was like my truth that we had been trying to figure out for so long. And we did it together in a sense, you know, I was like, we were coming to this truth. There was no infidelity, you know. It was just like me going on this journey, and he was like holding my hand the whole way. And he's always been super supportive. And that's not to say that things kind of like went up and down, because obviously he's going to grieve this marriage. I would grieve our marriage. And it was like, we did it at different times, thankfully. So it was like, we could support each other. It was,
yeah,
you know, it was like, that was nice. And, you know, I just let him have his space. Like, he could get upset. Like, I didn't hold it against him, because this is kind of like big news. And I was working up the courage to even like tell him. And so I just like, you know, that was our, that's the beginning of it all.
Yeah. So how long were you guys together from that point forward? Did you like, when did you separate, or when did you decide to start dating? What was that process like?
So I keep looking up in the corner because I have like this heart from our wedding. We got married in 2016. I think we met like 4 years before that. We had two kids. The math ain't mapping, but still, we were together for, I should probably just ask him. Hold on. Hold on, one second. Wait, how long were we together before I came out? 7 years. He says seven.
Yeah, you were so you were together 7 years. Yeah. And then after you came out to him, did you guys just dissolve the relationship at that point? Or what was that? What did that look like for you moving forward?
So the next steps were us like, okay, what happens now? Right. Because like, we didn't hate each other. We didn't have a toxic home. It was just, obviously we were best friends. As it was like, you can't get that far in life together if you didn't like each other or get along. And yeah. So we're like, okay, do we have to divorce, split everything, split the kids? Like, maybe not, you know, our house was big enough that we're like, why don't we just live under one roof and co-parent together? Because being a single parent is hard.
It's very hard. You know?
It's, and I was like, if we don't have to do that, if this can work, then let's try, you know? And the kids were so funny because it's almost like nothing changed for them. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like they saw us all over each other and then not, you know? Yeah. And that we were just like, okay, we're going to do something that's totally unconventional, but feels right for us.
Yeah. And I love that. Like that's what I do when I work with individuals. I'm like, you get to figure out how this works for you. It doesn't need to look like how my relationship looks. It doesn't need to look how Linda's looks. It doesn't need to look like anybody's. We just have to feel into understanding that we get to create a life that feels good to us. And often we haven't seen that before. Like you had never seen or been exposed to this idea that you could be a lesbian. And so it just wasn't in your radar. And it's interesting because I hear a lot of people being like, well, people know they're gay. We say they know when they're born that way and all these things, but then they're not coming out until they're older. And I'm like, you don't understand that we have not shown people options. And when we don't see an option or see ourselves in a different place, then how can we know? Yeah. You know, how can we really see that? Yeah. I love, 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 love that you guys have made it work being able to live together. There's not very many people that can make that work. People start it and then they're like, no, this isn't going to be good for us. But I love that that has worked for you.
Yeah. So. And I totally get that this is not for everyone. And, you know, you wouldn't want to put or suggest for people to do that if it's like toxic. We can just call like the relationship isn't going to work like that. You know, it takes a lot, you know, it takes a lot of communication. Like there are days where it is hard and we have to have hard conversations, but I'm just like, we all sit down and I'm like, we got to do this. If our goal is to stay together as a family and do this, then we have to have these really uncomfortable conversations. Why not?
Yeah. I read something, I think it was just yesterday, that was saying, you know, you either have the hard conversation or you have a hard life. Like you get to pick. Do you want to sit in this discomfort of having a hard conversation or do you want to have a hard life? And I was like, nothing is more true.
I literally got goosebumps. Like that is so real. That is so real. Yep. Because avoidance, I've heard so many people say like our generation's like trauma that we're breaking is like avoidance. Yeah. Mm. Like, yeah, sure. We could just cut ties, not acknowledge like our own mistakes, our own faults, and then carry on life and just pretend like everything's fine. Or we can like grow and take this head on and face the things that we don't want to face.
Yeah. Okay. So continuing on in your story, you now have a new partner. Tell us a little bit about the process of welcoming her into this dynamic.
So when I first came out, I was like single. I didn't want to date anybody. I was like, just wanted to be like super selfish because as most women can agree, you feel like you give. And I was like, I need to take care of me for once. And so that was my plan. I remember, I was on dating apps still, just, you know, like seeing how that felt, you know, it's a whole new world. I obviously have never used dating apps before. And, I came across Maddie's picture. And I originally was supposed to have a tattoo appointment that day. Mm. And my guy canceled on me. He's like, I'm sick. He literally has never. It's not like something that happens all the time. I was like, all right, fine. So I knew Christopher was like planning on being home, taking care of the kids. And I was like, well, maybe I go out, you know, maybe I do something. So I was on the app, Maddie and I both swiped left or right, whichever is the correct way. And I was like, hey, do you want to meet up for a drink? And she's like, yeah, I get off at 7. Like there was no pre-conversation. I was just going out like to have a little bit of fun, you know, to meet people in my area who are in the community. And so we met up. I'm like, you pick the place. She picks the place below my tattoo shop.
Oh my gosh.
Like we live in a big city. There are so many places to go. And it was like, so ironic. I'm like, I'm supposed to be here today, whether I like it or not. And so we hit it off. It was great conversation. You know, we always talk about the first things that we thought of when we saw each other. And hers was that, wow, she's so beautiful and so tall. She's not so tall, but anyways, by the end of our date, you like stayed, it was like 1 AM. We were just talking. I asked her for a kiss and she had never been asked for a kiss before, you know, and I was really feeling myself that day. I like feeling bold. And so we kissed, obviously. And for the first time in my life, I realized why movies depict kisses with fireworks. And I was like, oh my gosh, romantic comedies don't suck. I was like, okay. I literally drove home, like we said goodbye. And I drove home with my jaw on the ground. Like I literally was driving just like in shock. And it's so funny because I had been on a date with one other girl before Maddie, but when we kissed, I didn't feel anything. And so to me, it's a really integral part of like our story, because had I kissed Maddie first, I would have thought every girl I kissed, I would have these fireworks with, you know? And so obviously she felt them too. And we were trying to hang out with each other like as soon as possible, you know, after that. And after our second date, we were basically inseparable. Like it was not like we were trying to have this life that we have right now, yeah. But we talked about it, you know, it wasn't like I was looking for her. It was like, we just found each other and then jokingly talked about Christopher fathering her future baby, you know, on our second date. And then we're like, what if that really happens? You know, wouldn't that be crazy? And here we are.
Yeah. And what a beautiful family. And so you guys are obviously together. You have continued forward. How long have you guys been together now?
Yeah, it's like 2.5 years now.
Okay.
I know that math because it's like small.
I always track it by how old my kids are or like,
right. Yeah.
Okay. And he was this age. So therefore.
Yeah, literally. It's so funny. We talk about that all the time. I'm like, if it's not related to how old my kids are, I don't know.
It's so true. And you guys have brought a baby into your relationship. And how does that look? And what was that experience like?
So before I met Maddie, I swore I was finished. You know, I didn't want to go through all of that again, but I met her and she wanted to be a mom so bad. It reminded me of when I was 27 and I was like, need baby now, you know, and I never would want to deny someone something, that feeling that you want something and be like, I don't want any more kids because it's not just about me, you know? And so yeah. I was like, okay, you know, we had only been together and for, you know, like a couple weeks at this point. And we obviously discussed asking Christopher, but we didn't ask him until like 6 months in.
Okay.
And then, you know, he said, yes, you know, he just wanted to be the father on the birth certificate, everything just like the boys. And so we're like, okay. I was like, this is really happening, you know? I remember her coming out of the bathroom with the pee stick. And I was like, she's like, is this positive? I'm like, oh, it is positive, you know? And then it's just been a whirlwind, you know, bringing him into this world. It's like, he's always supposed to be here. His name is Arlo. His two older brothers are obsessed with him. Obsessed. Like dangerously, like might smother him, love him so much, obsessed, but it is so beautiful. He literally like brightens up their day. You know, my oldest, sometimes he's moody after school. He sees Arlo and he just perks right up. I'm like, oh, just like, it's always supposed to be like this.
That is so beautiful. It's been beautiful watching you express and talk about being on the other side, like the parent who is supporting the person who just had a baby. And I was like, man, I never thought about being able to live that experience. And I think it would be so cool and beautiful to be on the other side of that and to be present in a different way than we experienced as one birthing the child.
Well, for sure. I will say it's much easier on this side of the table, you know, but I remember like before, obviously, when she was pregnant, we talked about so much stuff, right? Because I'm like, I know what we need to talk about.
Yeah, for sure.
I was like, it's kind of funny that my whole account is kind of based on these challenges of motherhood, of like the struggles of motherhood, of like feeling alone and feeling inadequate. And I was like, you're just not really going to fully get it ever. You have three parents in one house. And I was like, and I love that for you, you know, but so it's so funny when I write stuff, sometimes I'll like have her read it and I'm like, you're not my demographic.
Yes. Okay. So tell us a little bit. I'm so happy for you guys and that you are where you are. And thank you for sharing this journey. And I know, like you mentioned, like there are ebbs and flows in this, and it's not just all easy. It's not easy. There are those hard conversations, and there are huge moments of grief and mourning of what we thought we would have on both sides of the equation. But it's beautiful to watch when we can show up for each other in a way that works and show up for ourselves. Like that's what it comes down to, is figuring out what works for you and then figuring out how to navigate that in your family. So thank you. Us more about the work you do on Instagram and that you do in general, because again, that's how I found you. And I love that you are creating space for moms.
Thank you. Yeah. I started my Instagram account literally because I was holding a 3-month-old in my arms, and I'm like, did I just like ruin my whole life? Like, and I kept telling myself, I'm like, people do this on purpose multiple times. I'm like, it's gotta get better, you know? And here I am with multiple kids. Right. But, I started my account anonymous. Like a lot of people who have been there from the beginning, like maybe don't know this. I used to actually be called a mom gang. Because my oldest is now 6, so 6 years ago.
Oh my goodness.
And it found out it was trademarked, and I was like, all right, fine, I have to change my name. I was at like 50,000 followers, and my last name is Fruits. So I was like, I have to use that. It's part of my identity. And so Fruits of Motherhood was literally born. And at that point, I started claiming it. Like I put my face out there. I put my name out there. I started owning what I was writing. Because before then, no one was really talking about like the hard parts 6 years ago. Like now we do it.
Yes. But
6 years ago, I felt alone, and I was like, I needed to express myself. And so I didn't know how it was going to be perceived. And so that's why I didn't put my name on it. I'm like, this is going to be kind of funny and kind of, you know, whatever you want to make of it. And so at 50,000 followers, I'm like, okay, fine. It's mine. I can say this stuff publicly. I can put my face on it. I'm not the only one who feels this way. Mm-hmm. And then the rest is just history. I just every day try to focus on what am I struggling with, whether or not it's like with my kids or with motherhood, just like, where am I hurting and how can I write that? And how can I send that out to the world so no one else is hurting like I am?
Yeah. Yeah. And feel alone in that hurt. I think it's just so comforting to know we're not crazy. We're not bad. This isn't me and I'm a bad mother. You just launched the Bad Moms Club. I love that. Because who hasn't been there or felt that? Like, it's so beautiful. It just to own it of like, yeah, we aren't perfect, but also we're doing a dang good job.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is we get so caught up on all these things that we need to do, supposed to do, everyone else is doing. And it's like, no, we are so unique in our experiences in life that we literally cannot be a carbon copy. Like everything cannot look the same. It will never. I don't care what some other kid is doing, what some other mom is doing. It's just like, you are totally two different people. And it's so hard to get to lose sight of that, especially when you're on social media. It's like, well, if he can do it, why can't my son do it? If that mom can do it, why can't I do it? And you don't even realize it. Those sneaky little ideas, they creep up into your head. They like stay permanently in there. And I'm like, I always have to like remind myself that like we are two different people. And it sounds so silly, but it is so deeply rooted that you have to have these internal conversations with yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. It's huge. It's so natural to us to be like, well, to compare ourselves to what somebody else is doing, or compare our kids or whatever, and just be like, okay, no. Or our partners. Like, I think about that too. Like, my partner excels in other areas. I don't need them to do this, this, and this, you know, like we get to embrace that. So anyway, it's a beautiful space and I'm so glad you've created it. When you came out on Instagram, I remember that when you did that, like I said, I just found you. And then I was like, oh my gosh, and just like feeling for you guys. Like I had been there years ago. We are 12 years out now post-divorce. And so like, I just feel for people who are in that. What was it like taking that step? Was it scary to come out
Gosh, like, you have no idea. I was like, had so many knots in my stomach. I remember like the day where I was like, okay, Christopher, I think it's time that we have to tell everyone, you know, like people are going to start to notice, right? Like I was kind of like dabbling and making like different kind of content on mm-hmm. TikTok. And I was like, okay, I'm going to have to address the elephant in the room. And so I wrote a blog post and I forget what it was titled, but it was basically like that we were splitting up and I wrote why. And I pressed post and I was like sweating, you know, just so nervous because, you know, historically coming out is not always the best experience on, and I'm on a public platform. Like people are mean on public platforms.
Yes, they are. Yes,
there we go. And within seconds, that post blew up and the response was so overwhelmingly positive that I was just sobbing tears of joy. And I was like, that was not what I was expecting. I thought I was going to get mean comments and trust me, I still did. But the overwhelmingly positive was comforting because even some of my own family members did not give me that. And I remember thinking like, this is so powerful. Had I told like certain family members we told like on the same day, you know, had I like did it in a different order, I might've been even more nervous to like come out, you know? And I thought about all these moms supporting me blindly, like just you do you kind of attitude. And I was like, what that means for their children. I was like, that's so beautiful. I just kept thinking about that next, like what this message means going forward. And I was like, wow, this is going to be okay.
I love that you say like, I had to address it. I think that like, that is that deep knowing in us that we try to suppress, but then we like, no, this is my time. Like, this is when I'm ready. And when we act on that, like, yes, there's still always going to be people who don't agree or who whatever, and who cares? We can focus on that good that's coming. And I'm so glad you were met with so much positivity in that moment.
Me too.
Because it's scary.
Yeah, it's scary. Me too. I got a couple death threats, but you know what?
Oh my gosh.
I understand. And it's fine. It's just like, at that point, I felt so confident in myself and my understanding that it just didn't matter. I have been lost for so long that I was like, no one can take this from me.
Yeah. And I think in working with women who are on the other side of your equation, that's a lot of the work I do. Mm-hmm. They're like, how do you get over that fear of other people's opinions or their judgment and act on what is right for you? And it comes down to what you just said, of that inner knowing of why you're doing it and who you are and your intentions behind it. And like, once you are like firmly grounded to that, people can spew hate, people can spew their stuff, but you know also who you are and why you're doing it and the lives you're touching, and that we are ideally opening doors for the next generation of like, okay, this is, you can be who you want to be and you can make things work and figure this out and find happiness and joy and all the things you're looking for on the other side.
Yeah. And honestly, like one of our family members was like, Christopher's such a great guy. I'm like, I know that. I'm like, if you want to sleep with him for me, go right ahead. But I was like, I can't do it, you know? And I was like, this whole thing started from me being like, I don't know what to do. Maybe we need to have an open marriage because I was like, I can't sleep. Maybe somebody else needs to. That's literally the first thought that started this whole thing. And I was like, well, that escalated quickly.
Well, and it's such a common thought of people going through this relationship because 99% of the time we genuinely love and care about this other person on like a very deep level, but there's just something not clicking and it's not working. And I think because you love Christopher so much, and I think about this with Steve, because Steve loved me so much, it was like, I need to let you go find this relationship that's fulfilling for you just as much as I need to go like on the other side of this. Both people get that. And I think that that's like one of the things that like I get not mad about, but like when people say that, but they're such a good person, I'm like, yes, that's why they deserve to go find a relationship.
Exactly.
Like
it's
fulfilling in every way. Yeah, and I can still be their friend and a cheerleader and a supporter.
Of course. And, you know, I'm like, I at the end there, I would almost like shudder at like, you know, his touch. I'm like,
yeah,
he does not deserve that. He does not deserve that at all. I'm like, but I can't help it either. So I'm like, something's got to change, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a interesting thing to navigate and a unique process to go through. And I'm so grateful there are more of us out there talking about it on all of the sides. I get hate sometimes because people are like, oh, you are bashing the LGBTQ community. You are whatever. And I'm like, no, I just know that there's pain and grief that comes from this. And once we can heal that, we can support and we can show up in love, but all sides need to heal and process through that. So
Of course. Thank you.
I love seeing your family and all of the things that you share. It's just impacting the world. So thanks for showing up boldly as yourself.
Thank you. So sweet.
And yeah. And for being here today with us. Where can people find you who are looking for you, who are like, okay, I need more of Linda in my life. Where do they go?
I'm pretty sure I'm the only Linda Fruits. So you could just Google my name. I will pop up on all your favorite platforms. But my stage name is Fruits of Motherhood.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can find her all over the place on Fruits of Motherhood, Linda Fruits. Thank you so much for being here today. Loved chatting with you.
Thank you. Likewise.
Okay, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please, if you enjoyed it, be sure to share on social media, to leave us a rating and review, and be sure to go follow Linda on Instagram and TikTok. You can also head to her website and pick up all of the awesome things that she has to offer there. All of the links are in the show notes, so we can make that easy for you. Just scroll down and go click those so that you can connect with her. I hope you have a fabulous week. If you are listening to this in real time, it's my birthday, and so please go do something to celebrate yourself today and acknowledge how awesome you are and keep kicking trash, my friend. You are doing an amazing job. And I just want you to know that you are loved, seen, and supported in this crazy journey. And I am here cheering you on. Have an amazing day. Have an amazing week. And we will be back next week for another amazing episode of the Husband Law Podcast.